So this morning, I have chosen the gospel lesson for the message to you. I'll read it. Jesus said, "I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other as well. And from the one who would take your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. As you wish that others would do to you, do also unto them. If you love those who love you, of what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you expect to receive back, of what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to others, expecting to get back at least the same amount. But love your enemies, do good, lend, expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you'll be sons and daughters of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you." Let's try what we did last week because it's in keeping with the reading and the message from last week. I'll say, "I am a miracle," and I want you to respond, "I am a miracle," okay? "I am a miracle." "Oh, I'm a miracle." "Very good." "You certainly are." "Oh, very good. See, you're copying me. Very good." Today, we'll discover a little something different about you being a miracle. Last week, you were a miracle in any situation that happens because you can see past what's going on in that situation and behave and think and believe as God directs. Today is going to be a little different. Today, we're going to find out that you are a miracle no matter what the relationship. Today's more people related. And so this past week, on Thursday, I went over to Oak Hills Terrace. It's where my mom lives. It's assisted living community. And we had a service of remembrance. And so all the residents that lost a loved one in the past year came to this special service that we held. And we said some prayers. We sang some nice old songs, heard a little message. And then everybody was invited up front, one by one, as the name of their loved ones was read. So then you came up, you took a little stone, and there was a basin full of water. You drop the stone in the basin of water, and little ripples go out to symbolize all the people that this person had touched during their life. Anyway, after the worship was over, I happened to be standing around in the back just talking to some of the folks with my mother. And along came this gal in her wheelchair. My mom happened to know her because she sits across the table from her when she eats. And as soon as she came up, she said, "This is my son. He's a pastor." Didn't even say my name. And this gal said, "My name is Laura. And I have 8 brain tumors, and I love Jesus." Exact words. "My name is Laura, I have 8 brain tumors, and I love Jesus. How do you respond to something like that? I didn't do very well. I said, are they cancerous? She looked at me and she said, no. I've had them most of my life. That's why I can't walk. But I love Jesus. And I said to her, you're a miracle. You lived most of your life with these tumors and you still love Jesus? And she said, yes, and I'm 61 years old. And I said, oh, I'm 58 years old. And you know what she said? Are you married? True story. Think about the words of Jesus that I just read. You heard them. How many of you took them seriously or just think they're a hyperbole? You know what a hyperbole is. It's a piece of literature that's just an exaggeration. It's a device. We use it in speech all the time, right? To make a point. I'm so hungry, I can eat a horse. And of course, halfway around the world, they say, I'm so hungry, I can eat a camel. I don't know, I just made that up. I have a million things to do. The teacher gave me a ton of homework. That's a hyperbole. All those are, they're an exaggeration. Is what Jesus says in Luke here, chapter 6, one long hyperbole or exaggeration? Or did he really mean it? You know, pray for those who curse and abuse you. If you get struck, turn the other cheek. Make a loan, demand nothing in return. Love those who hate you. Do good to your enemies. Judge not, condemn not, forgive all. He can't mean it. He can't mean it literally. Right? Think of somebody you really can't stand. Are you praying for them? Think of somebody you really can't stand. Are you praying for them? I caught you. You thought of somebody you really can't stand. We all suffer the issue of sin. And when Jesus talks like this, we brush it off as an impossibility, a hyperbole. But think of it. Give to those in need. Expect nothing in return. What would happen if you did it? Probably go broke. Turn the other cheek. Think of it. If you always turn the other cheek, no matter who was beating you up, would you be dead? Do you remember Desmond Doss? Did you see Hacksaw Ridge? Desmond Doss was a Seventh-day Adventist. And he grew up where you went to church on Saturday. And murder was one of the worst of all sins. And during World War II, when it came up, he felt he really wanted to serve. So he joined the army. But he thought he could join the army and not take up a rifle and just be a medic. Of course, the military said to him, no, you got to have a rifle and you're going to shoot it. You're going to kill the enemy. He said, no, I'm not. After a long rigmarole, finally they said to him, we're not going to give you a rifle. You go into battle without it, you be a medic. Let's see how far that gets you. Off he goes. Hacksaw Ridge. The Japanese are just wiping out the Americans. It's a horrible battle. The number of people that die, just incredible. Desmond Doss seems to walk through it all. And at the end of one of the battles, he goes out into the field while everybody else has left. He goes out into the field and he saves 75 people all by himself, the wounded, carries them on his shoulders back to safety. He never killed anyone, but he saved all these people. What's going on here? Yes, the real law of the Bible isn't just to not murder, but is to take a couple steps further, as Luther said, and help and support our neighbor in every physical need. Not through a national health care system, but through a church. Isn't that interesting? Through a church. Through any individual that's here, to reach out and love. The real and true law of God is not fulfilled when we follow the letter of the law, but when we know the heart and spirit of the law and it lives and breathes within us. This is what Jesus is saying to each and every one of us. We would love to just try to obey the letter of some of the laws and say, we did our best, we can do no better. And Jesus comes forward and says, you haven't even come close. You haven't even hit the target. This isn't about the letter of the law. This is about the spirit and heart of the law. Do you have true love in your heart for others, no matter who they are? But before we go too far, I think we have to understand all of Scripture here. In today's world, we live in the law of acceptance. In other words, even as Christians, we're supposed to accept everyone's behavior, no matter what. We're supposed to just live the way everybody else wants to live, no matter whether or not it's against the Scripture and hurtful to the person or others. And so things like abortion, sexual orientation, all of these other things are misunderstood. In love, we address such things, not with the law of acceptance, but with the law of understanding and love. I always tell my mom, I know you love everybody, and she does, but when somebody calls and wants your social security number, please don't give it out. Contrary to popular belief, you can love somebody without accepting their behavior and ideology. Here's what love does mean. It does mean you're concerned about somebody's eternal salvation. You're concerned about their own life and the way they live it for their own benefit and for the benefit of others. Living according to the law of love says, hate stops with me. Revenge stops with me. The cycle of retaliation stops with me. I'm going to be smarter than that. I'm going to be Christian and understand Jesus in the middle of all of this. I'm going to love with great understanding because I know who Jesus is and I know what the Scriptures say. You know, if my dad were here right now, he would have told you he loved me no matter what. Even when my hair was long. I used to have hair down past my shoulders. I walked in one day with it all curled up like a poodle cut. And he said, my God, son, who are you trying to impress? The boys? He loved me even when I broke curfew. He loved me even when I dented his Plymouth Volare, which had really thin metal and dented easily anyway. He loved me and gave me fatherly advice that was good and sound, made a difference in my life. See, this is what God does. He loves us no matter what, but he wants us to move forward in who we are as his children, to be children of the Most High, so to speak, as it says in the Scripture. To love him, to seek out his word, what he says, and to care about it deeply. Jesus was somebody who really loved everybody and anybody. And one of the people that I think of in the Bible that really makes this so clear, of course, is Judas. You know, Jesus really never said a bad word to Judas that we can tell of in the Scriptures. But throughout the Scriptures, we do know he loved him. Isn't that something? The one that would betray him, the one whose actions would actually lead to him going to the cross. The Bible also says God desires all to come to salvation. And the operative word there is all. He desires everyone to go to heaven. That doesn't mean everybody will go to heaven, because there are many that don't want to love. And they don't even want to come close to the love that he's shown us in Jesus because they've rejected him. But he does desire all to go to heaven. You know, wise parents know that it's unloving to give them everything they want. Wise people know it's not wise to foster addiction in those who are addicted by giving them whatever it is that they're addicted to. And in fact, people who really love those people will put a beer away and not drink it if they're an alcoholic when they're in their presence to show true love. But to be able to love, we really need to be loved first, because we don't really get it. I mean, we have such a hard time with these words of Jesus. We want to call them a hyperbole. They must be an exaggeration. Nobody can fulfill this law. You see, we don't really know in and of ourselves. We're not born lovers as God loves others. We're not born that way. We must first be loved. It must be ingrained in our hearts with a very special love. And of course, that's what God does. He looks at each and every one of us individually, and he sends his Holy Spirit to prompt us to repentance, to feel a sorrow over sin, to look at the cross and know Jesus and his deep love for us. And then that Holy Spirit begins to work and work and work so that we might be able to amend our sinful nature. And when we do that, love is generated. And as it's generated, it becomes a part of who we are. Consider these words of Romans. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet enemies of God, he himself reconciled us to himself through the death of his Son. That's real love. We don't deserve it. He does it anyway. We're so bad off, we have no hope. Yet he gives us the hope of being able to love because Christ comes into our lives and our hearts, and he fills our minds with new thoughts through the Scriptures, the kind of people he really wants us to be. I'll read that list again. It's overwhelming, but it's not impossible. And when I read it, I want you to think first, Jesus fulfilled this. He did it. He did it on our behalf. That gives us every opportunity to be the kind of people that can follow after him and do the same. Pray. Pray for those who curse you. If somebody strikes you, don't strike them back. Turn the other cheek. When somebody has a need, give. If you make a loan, don't demand anything in return. Love the people who seem to hate you. Do good to all, even those you might call your enemy. Do not be one who judges, apart from the scriptures. Condemn not, forgive all. Pour it all into a bucket. Push it down. Shake it up. Then put some more in and let it overflow. And the love of Jesus bless you all. Amen.